You are not ready for how passionate this episode's about to get.
And not between you and I.
No, not that way.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Couples Guide to Stranger Things podcast. I'm Sian.
And I am Tom, because I have no imagination. I can't think of anything funny right now.
The funny thing is, I'm now shocked because you've actually said your name. It threw me off.
Have I ruined your script?
There is no script for this, but I can finally remember it all. So we're just a couple of super fans who met through our love of Stranger Things.
Oh my god, there's a love for this episode. Anyway, this episode, you might be wondering, is number 7, The Lost Sister. We've just watched that. And now we're going to go ahead and get all fiery and angry about it.
Shall we dive into the fire?
Let's go.
So this chapter of Stranger Things, really every season of Stranger Things, is known as the most kind of divisive within the fans. It's the most controversial.
This is easily the most hated episode out of the fandom, and that infuriates me if I haven't said that enough times before.
Yeah, as you can see, Tom is very much team episode 7, The Lost Sister. I'm also team episode 7, The Lost Sister. But I think the only kind of defense for hating this episode, to try and be a bit neutral, is it taking you away from the action and it only focusing on one of our actual main characters and all the rest are sub-characters, instead of having like a big, like what we're used to, where we get a bit of everyone.
Yeah, that's, so this is it. I can fully understand where people are coming from in that it takes you out of the action, because obviously, you know, last episode ended with a Demodog getting out of that pit.
Yeah.
You know, everything's about to go down there, and then suddenly it's like, actually, just put that on hold for a second. We'll just put that on the back burner and we're going to go over here to a much slower, like completely unrelated episode. And this is the problem. Where else could you put this episode though?
Exactly.
There's literally no way you could slice this episode in. So I think with what's going on, I think this did make the most sense. And that's a bit of a detriment to it.
Yeah.
Because like I say, it is taking you straight out of the action. But there's nowhere else it could go.
Yeah.
And yeah, you are right that it's literally only about 11. But that is the point of this episode. This episode is so goddamn important for who Elle is as a person. Like,
yeah.
She truly learns who she is in this episode, and that's the whole point of it. So none of the other characters are needed. If anything, that's the point. She's not being forced to be a particular person by Hopper, by Mike. And I'm not saying they force her to be who she is, but she's not being influenced by the people she has already. Instead, she's got a completely different person nearly trying to dictate who she needs to become.
Yeah.
And that is Callie. So, yeah, it's such an important episode. And I'm not going to stop saying that. So if you hate this episode, you're going to hate me. And I probably hate you.
He doesn't hate you. He just mildly dislikes you.
That's putting it very, very nicely. And I dislike the politeness.
I'm trying to be polite. But no, but in all seriousness, when we came to rewatching this, we've actually just rewatched now. I was a bit like, oh, we've got to rewatch chapter 7. I was a bit not really looking forward to it, thinking, well, what are we going to have to really discuss in the podcast? But I've got to say, that was a really, really good rewatch.
Yeah.
And I'm probably most excited about this podcast episode, because instead of almost listing, which I worry I do, listing what's happening in the scenes and stuff, this has brought up a lot of question marks for us and almost excitement into season five potential. So yeah, I am looking forward to diving into it, really.
That's it. It's ironic because I was looking forward to this episode because of how controversial it is and because of how much I genuinely love this episode. Like, it does take you completely out of the action, but it's so important for her development that I just couldn't wait to get there and talk about it because I knew it was going to be a talkative episode.
Yes. Yeah. Well, let's try and break it down then and discuss our points that we've raised. So
I promise I will try to not get as fiery as I'm sounding already. I promise I will try. But I will fail.
Friends, don't lie. Don't make promises you can't keep.
Too late.
So this episode starts with really a flashback to what we've seen Terry experiencing. It's quite a whirlwind for poor Elle.
Yeah.
All those images are flashing faster and faster.
Exactly. And I suppose that's them knowing they're kind of having to take you out of the action with this episode. They're like, oh yeah, by the way, this happened and we're continuing from that now.
Yeah, it's like, right, let's recap.
That's it. It's literally a recap mid-season because they need it.
Yeah.
Because without that, you would be like, well, wait a minute, what's going on?
Yeah.
Because we literally haven't seen the Carly gang since the first snippet in episode one of season two. So suddenly we're back. Yeah, it would be off-putting if there wasn't this throwback.
And that's it. So like Elle comes out of Terry's dream circle and Becky is, you know, quite worried about her, wondering what she's seen. And I did wonder what that must have felt like for Becky when Elle and her are sat at the kitchen table and Elle is telling her what she's seen. Like, that must have haunted
Becky. That's it, because I can't remember if this conversation is now or if it was in the last episode we saw Becky. But she does say, I hope it's... Oh, no, sorry, this is an Elle line. Becky's saying it's like she's dreaming, and Elle says, I hope it's a nice dream. And that's it. Unfortunately, Elle now knows it's very much not a nice dream at all.
Like I said, it's a fate worse than death.
It really is. Opinion. You are stuck constantly re-watching your child's abduction.
Like, literally the worst thing that could happen.
Yeah.
You're having to rewatch it. And I think for Elle to tell, like, Becky, having a sister myself, who I'm very close with, to, like, hear what happened to her would be, like, more than a punch in the gut.
Yeah.
To hear, like, her child say to me, and then they pulled out guns on her, and they dragged her into this room and they did something to her mind with this you know, like, you'd be like,
they fried her brain.
Yeah.
It's like, exactly. Especially
more than sickened.
Yeah, especially if you're in Becky's position and you've not believed a word your sister has said.
Yeah.
Suddenly her daughter, who you thought had miscarried, you suddenly face to face with her and she is getting in your sister's head.
Yeah.
Seeing what's going on in that mind that's just looping constantly.
Yeah.
And she's suddenly saying, oh yeah, by the way, everything that she told you that you didn't listen to because you just thought she was high on LSD, it all happened.
And that's the thing. She can't even say sorry to her, or she probably doesn't even know where to start when it comes to getting justice for Terry.
Exactly. Like, what would... You can't.
No.
Unless you were to ironically go the way of Carly and her gang.
Yeah.
You've got nothing. You've just learned that your sister was telling the truth. She truly lost her daughter and needed to go get her. And you just didn't listen to a word of it because you thought she was high off her mind.
Yeah.
You thought she was a bit of a schizo.
But the thing is, Becky shows Elle all the news clippings of the different children that went missing. Which, again, I've said this before and I'll say it again, now being a parent doing this rewatch, that's like a kick in the gut to me, because like one of them's a baby and all this kind of stuff
that
I've gone missing, you know, and it's just, it hurts.
Yeah, and that's it. I can't remember if the first Shadow dives into this, but it's as if they're experimenting with a load of kids of different ages to see how they all react differently.
Yeah, it just makes me hate Brennan more.
Oh, yeah.
Like, every single time, as a parent now, these kind of scenes play out, I just hate him even more.
Yeah, exactly, because you always, now as a parent, like, obviously...
thinking that how loved your child is.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Are they the most important thing in your world? And to think someone could just come and steal them from you.
Yeah, exactly, because that's it. You know, as an empathetic person, you can always relate to people, like, losing their kids or anything like that.
Yeah.
But once you're a parent, and it makes you just imagine that happening to your kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just kind of want to break through the screen and punch Brenner in the face yourself.
Or more than that, to be honest with you. But that's it, yeah. It just hits on a different level, these kind of moments of realising that these children were abducted. And they come across the news clipping of Carly, and it just made me kind of... the first kind of point for us to question, why does Terry want Elle to find Collie?
Yeah, now I wonder if Terry even does want her to find her, in the sense that, is it just a case that because Elle was with Carly in the Rainbow Room, I guess maybe, again, we don't know how canon Suspicious Minds is, but in Suspicious Minds she's met Callie before while she's running experiments with Brenner.
She's quite integral to the story, isn't she?
She
really
is, yeah, that's it. Terry realises that they must be experimenting on her as well, and that kind of hints to the bad of the lab for her.
Yeah.
But moving on from that, maybe it was just an integral moment in her head that she was with Carly and she just happens to remember her. Because the thing is, obviously, the Dream Circle, she can't exactly say, go find her. I think, because if anything, she doesn't really see Carly in the Dream Circle more often than any of us seen. You know, Sunflower, Rainbow, Four to the Right, Three to the Left, 450 or whatever it was, they all play an equal amount. So it's not like she's emphasising Callie, as far as I'm aware. I think maybe it's the only real thing that Elle can follow on from. You know, none of the other parts mean anything to her, but Callie is a person that she can go and find who she was with. I think it's the only plot point, really. I don't think Terry specifically wants her to go find her, but it's the only thing that Elle can follow on from, so that's naturally where she goes.
See, for me, I have a couple of different theories that play in my mind. I think that the character of Carly can be very important if they bring her back in season 5.
They need to.
And there's so much, although she is a completely wasted character, but not only a wasted character, a massively wasted opportunity, which I'll talk a bit more about later when we see her powers. But I think Terry could have either sent Elle to her to almost be like, you need to help this girl.
Okay.
Because she knows that, ironically, like, I mean, I'd be no different to Terry, but ironically, like Terry was seeking vengeance and it didn't end well for her. And Collie is seeking vengeance. And in Collie's case, there's not that much to be gained from it. I don't think it's fixing the hole for her, because
no.
I genuinely don't know how Collie would have felt when, if she'd got all of the lab, would she feel healed? I think the answer would be no.
No, and that's to run it, because that whole thing, this is completely off topic, but it makes me think of one of the missions in Grand Theft Auto 4.
Oh, right,
ironically.
Okay.
Where the whole story of GTA 4, Nico, your character, is talking about finding this one person who betrayed their squad.
Right. Betrayed.
Betrayed, yeah. So this one person basically just killed all of their squad.
Yeah.
Right. And through the whole story, Nico says he's looking for someone, and he's looking for this Darko character. I'm sure it's Darko anyway. I don't know. But once you get to that mission, it gives you the choice. You either kill him for revenge, or you walk away.
Yeah.
Because literally in that mission, he says, kill me, I've got nothing to live for, sort of thing, this Darko guy.
Yeah.
And so it's your choice then. You kill him or you walk away.
Yeah.
And if you kill him, Nico's cousin, Roman, then, as they're driving away, says, has that helped you? And Nico says, no, I just feel empty.
Yeah.
But if you choose to let him live, it kind of fulfills Nico. He knows that
he feels bigger than
he feels that, bigger. Yeah. He feels like he's seen that Darko's got nothing in life, and leaving him alive, ironically, is letting him suffer more. And so that's more of a revenge.
Yeah, and I suppose he's got a choice.
Exactly.
Rather than he feeling like he has to kill him, because that's the only way he's going to be able to feel better.
Yeah. And I hope you can understand where I'm coming from with this.
Yeah, I can.
Links to what Callie might feel if she did succeed in killing them all. Then it's just this empty pit. You know, they're not behind bars. They're not feeling remorseful. They're feeling nothing. They're dead.
Yeah. And just to add, sorry if it's annoying people that Tom is saying Callie and I'm saying Collie. We're trying to get the right pronunciation of her name. Because in our kind of, well, in our country, it'd be Callie. But in the episode today, we noticed that they're saying, that's Collie?
Yeah.
So we're trying to say it like that.
Are you trying to say I've been saying it wrong?
Yes.
Have I?
I would say look through the whole recording.
I'm not playing it back right now. We're already 17 minutes in. You can get lost. Carly.
Now you're saying it right, but you've been saying Callie.
No, I have not.
You have. I feel like you do need to go through it.
Nope. I never do.
But yeah, so I'm sorry if that's been annoying people that we've both been saying it different to each other. But we're just trying to find our way with the pronunciation and be respectful of a name.
I've been saying it right.
I don't think so.
I'll let you guys be the judge.
So, yeah, going back to what we were saying about Terry, a part of me thinks it could be that she wants Jane to go and rescue Collie.
Yeah, I never thought about it in that direction.
Because that is Jane's character. She is the saviour. You know, she is the one who saves everyone, helps everyone.
Yeah.
She's
the superhero.
Yeah. Especially if Terry had a relationship with Collie, had known her as a child, and, you know, would still almost have that maternal instinct to help her, and knows that Jane is the only one that can do that. Just to kind of see it from a different perspective that I hadn't thought of before.
Yeah, I'd never thought about that direction, and I think you might actually have something.
Yeah, because otherwise it doesn't make much sense. But as I said, I will discuss it a little bit later when we talk about her powers. But I do think that it will all make sense if they use her in season 5.
Yeah, exactly. Because like you were saying, if they don't bring her back in season 5, then yeah, this episode then unfortunately becomes redundant in the sense of Callie.
Yeah,
it's still such an important episode.
Elle could have still gone on a journey without there being another subject, basically.
Yeah, exactly. They could have come up with another plot point for her to go finding Ray, who is the one who ultimately helps her realise who she is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, the thing is, with the Duffer Brothers, we love you guys. Like, you are geniuses.
Yeah. We adore
But my God, you can be foolish sometimes. Like, I'm not going to talk about season three. Just hold your hand over my mouth, because I could easily talk about season three right now. But I'll skip ahead to season four. You forgot Will's birthday! If you can forget Will's birthday, then you can forget anything.
And the thing is, it's not like it's an unlisted birthday, if you know what I mean.
It's the one and only birthday you mention in the damn show.
Yeah, literally, it's used as one of the reasons to try and bring it's Will
literally
back.
The one, like, the first thing that Joyce brings up, trying to break through to Will in the next or the next after episode. Or has it already been? It hasn't already. No, it hasn't been.
It'll be
yet.
In the next episode.
Yeah, next. Of course it is next episode, yeah. So.
You're worried, yeah, that they're going to forget about Carly as well.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like they could easily just forget Carly exists. And it's like, on the other hand, will they? Because it is the most controversial episode, and they know that. But on the other hand, I worry that because of that, they will intentionally forget her. In a sense of, well, everyone hated that, then they must hate Carly. It's like,
it's a 50-50, isn't it? They've either got big plans, and they always have. Or
I
they
hope
are
so.
Going to be like, well, that didn't work out, so because let's leave that behind.
The other thing that makes me worry in season four is they kind of retcon the idea of any other kids having different abilities. Like, every single one of them has the same abilities in season four. You know, they're all able to find people in their heads. They've all got telekinesis, just of differing strengths.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure it's number 10.
They're all like carbon copies, aren't they?
They are, exactly. And I'm sure it's number 10 we see Brenna with, trying to find one of the other staff members. And, well, at first he tries to see Brenna's drawing of a dog and he thinks it's something else.
Yeah.
And they kind of try and make Brenna seem like a fun fatherly figure out of that, don't they?
Yeah, they
do. Yeah, so that's it. It's like they kind of retcon the whole idea that the kids develop different abilities. And I don't know if the whole fact that Terry was there at the same time as Carly means that they use different drugs on Carly herself. And that's why things develop differently just for her. And then they moved on to other plans with all the other kids. But why would she be number 8?
It's hard to know. I mean, there is also, like, the possibility that we know that Henry/Vecna has got the power to make people see things that aren't there. We know that.
Yeah.
But there's nothing to say that the other kids didn't have that same ability too, but it just hadn't come through yet, that they hadn't expanded their minds yet to that ability. But also, I remember saying this before when we've talked about it. Like, you and I have had 2 children. I've got, when I was a child, I was very, very good at netball. We might find that Harry is great at netball and basketball, but Emmy isn't. You know, she might get your natural talents with technology, you know, with computers. And, I mean, we kind of know Harry does, but, and Harry might not. You know, it's that kind of thing again about DNA works in different ways.
I suppose, yeah. I forgot about that conversation. And, yeah, I suppose you're right. I always forget that, yeah, the whole thing of Henry is making people see things. You know, yeah. Obviously the grandfather clock is while they're still conscious and in their own mind. So he is implanting a vision into their... Well, implanting an image into their actual vision, which is what Callie does.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. Yeah, I think you've got a good point there, actually. Because, like you said, if...
Show up, yeah,
yeah, exactly. I just... Yeah, out of, like, what was it, 16 kids in the end?
But the thing is, we didn't see all of them in depth.
No, we didn't. So maybe some others grew more like Carly.
Yeah.
Either way, I'll shut up.
Well, I need you to not shut up, because this is a podcast which requires both of us talking.
It's all you now. I'm just going to go to sleep. See ya.
You've had your passionate moment. You've said your piece. You've left the podium.
Yeah, exactly. This is the most important episode. It's probably my favourite episode of season two. Bye-bye. No. Other than the snowball.
I was like, wait, hang on. And for me, the reunion.
And reunion. But as an episode.
Well, you're about to punch me in the face then. He's just swung his arms out like...
To describe the extent as a full episode, not just scenes of an episode.
Yeah.
As a full episode, this is probably the most important. I said it. All of you haters out there, deal with it.
I feel like you need like a tranquilizer gun or something.
What, to shut me up or to shut them up?
To shut you up.
Please do. Put me out of my misery.
You're so hyped. I love it. Right.
It's like you ironically said earlier. We were tired. We watched this episode and I'm like, oh my God, we've got a good one.
We both felt like such a passion to talk about this.
Because I need to put all those haters in their place.
But there might not be as many haters as you think.
Oh, there are. It is... We are the, like... 0.0000000001%. I had to say 11 zeros. That's just... That was mandatory.
Fair enough. That was really annoying me.
Too bad.
But then when you said 11 zeros, I was like, all forgiven.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That was the law.
Yeah. But shall we get back to the episode?
Do they want us to, or do they just want us to stop right now?
So.
How the hell are we at 26, nearly 27 minutes already? What?
And I've got so many notes left.
No. Right, come on, let's go.
So in our next scene, we see Elle, well, she finds Collie in a moment by herself, and Collie's almost about to turn around as well, which is interesting in the
yeah,
void.
I think Collie senses her.
Yeah, she senses,
you know,
something.
If Mike can sense her in the void, yeah, then Collie definitely can.
Yeah. I don't think she immediately knows it's Elle, otherwise she wouldn't be so shocked when Elle finds it.
No, she just senses a presence.
Yeah, definitely. But then, poor Elle, like, she hears Becky on the phone trying to get in touch with Hopper. And you and I both have, well, we both brought different thoughts on this.
Exactly,
to the table,
yeah.
And
we
both could be... equally right.
And it surprised me when you brought yours to it, because I thought my thought was so obvious.
Well, it kind of was. Your thought was so obvious that I kind of wanted to slap myself, because I was like, that's actually probably it. So I'll say mine first, because it's the most least likely. So obviously, hearing Becky on the phone is what makes Jane or Elle leave.
Yeah, exactly.
My point of view... was that I kind of blamed Hopper for Elle leaving, because Elle, last time she seen Hopper, he got so mad with her because she had left the house. He was screaming, it ended up with her smashing glass, screaming, hiding behind a door. And I thought she's worrying about how he's going to react to the fact that she's not just gone out for the day. She's run away. And she's been, I don't know how much time it is now, but she's been away at least a day. At least.
Yeah, because that's if she wakes up in bed. It's like the next morning.
Yeah. So I was thinking she's leaving because she's like, I can't deal with his wrath anymore. Like, that was kind of where I was coming from.
Yeah.
But yours makes a hell of a lot more sense.
So I am sure she's running because she knows that these phone calls are listened to by the lab.
Yeah.
So obviously, yes, she's talking about Joyce and Hopper. But I have a feeling she's, first of all, potentially worried that Becky's going to end up going the same way as Benny.
Yeah.
Her name starts with a B.
Yeah, it does. That's true. Well, maybe technically she might be Rebecca. That might help her, okay. A little technicality.
We'll hold on to that then. But that, and as soon as the lab hear that she's with Becky and Terry, they're going to come storming there to grab her.
I mean, fortunately, or unfortunately, right now there's more pressing matters, aka Demodogs, in the lab.
That's it. But Elle obviously doesn't know this.
Elle does not know that. But fortunately, that is the case, because, yeah, I actually 100% agree. I think they'd have been on that doorstep.
Yeah, and maybe not Sam's team.
Yeah.
But we know, obviously, that Brenna's still out there because someone's of season four.
Listening, and, yeah.
Oh, I 100% think he's listening, but I think Sam's gotten into his head that he needs to take things slowly and let Elle approach them.
Yeah.
I think that's the whole thing with season four, when we get to it. Eventually, Jesus.
Yeah, and so I think that is 100% right, because it would be a PTSD for Elle.
Exactly.
Thinking, no.
I can't get Becky shot.
Yeah. But then a part of me just doubted it, because of the fact that if that was why Elle was feeling a certain way, wouldn't she come and slam the phone down and say to Becky, we need to leave, they're going to come here now, and they're going, you know, because if Elle disappears or not, the lab would still show up and would probably still kill Becky on the door.
Well, I'm half and half about that, would they? Because if they've killed her and Elle's able to find that out, which she is,
yeah,
she has no reason to then go back there.
Mm.
I feel as if they'd probably bug the house.
Yeah.
Wait for Elle to show back up and then grab her. Probably killing them in the process, but grab her when she's back again.
Yeah, possibly. Or there is, of course, just the kind of option that Elle's just like, you've betrayed my trust. I didn't want you to tell him where I was, and you've gone and tried to tell him.
Yeah.
It could be as simple as that. Or even, you don't want me here. You're trying to sack me off.
Yeah, exactly. Because, yeah,
it's
why
complex,
would she?
Isn't it
is complex. It is complex, absolutely. And I think it could easily as well be a, oh, right, okay. Clearly, you don't want me here then, if you're trying to call and get help.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can
understand that. But like we've both said, in Becky's defence, poor Becky's thinking, my God, like, what that chief of police said is right. I need some help. I don't know how to deal with this situation. How do I protect my niece? How do I protect my sister? Like, what do I do?
Yeah, that's it. And
so
that's the important thing to say. The important thing to say is, I'm not against Becky calling for help.
No.
I just think it's an unfortunate...
She doesn't understand the gravity of the situation.
Exactly. And whether she just doesn't know or she doesn't think about it, the fact that she's using a phone to try and get that help is such a foolish mistake.
Yeah.
And like I say, if she probably just doesn't acknowledge that fact, you know. She says the whole... I'm sure she mentions the whole tinfoil hat thing of people being like, oh yeah, they're all listening and all of that, and she just doesn't believe any of it. So...
I can't think of when that is.
I don't think she specifically mentions the listening in to things, but when Terry has told her about, like, the lab and...
Oh, you're talking about, like, when Hopper and Joyce...
I think it's in season one,
I'm not sure she says that, but she definitely has the appearance and the attitude of someone who's like, yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly, that's it. So I don't think she for 1 second believes that the phones are listened to.
Yeah.
At all. And that obviously comes to a detriment, because now her niece is legging it and getting in a... big truck with a nice man.
Yeah.
No, that's already happened.
She gets on a bus.
That's how she gets there. She gets on a bus.
That might have a nice man. Might be a nice man driver.
Maybe.
And that's it. Elle arrives in Chicago, and she has got the song Runaway by Bon Jovi playing, which I was saying is so ironic.
It's just a hilarious irony now, because, yeah, that's your father-in-law now.
I know, isn't that crazy? Also, I would just like to say, not that she's going to ever listen to this, but congratulations, Millie.
Yeah.
Like, you got married.
Yeah.
That sounds so weird to say, because you're still young in our eyes.
Well, that's it. We just watched this where, I can't remember how old you were when filming, but you're portraying a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
And now you're married.
And you're,
what
literally,
the hell?
To John Bon Jovi's son, to Jake. And literally, they've got Runaway playing, and it's like, oh my God, like foreshadowing much? That is your father-in-law.
Yeah, indeed. You may not have known it then, but that's who it is.
But, you know, like, the next scenes, it doesn't show... She's in like, the depths of Chicago. She's in, like, these dangerous places, like...
She's in all the drug alleys.
Yeah. And it's scary, and she very much must be relying on her powers there, like, to keep her safe.
Oh, I think she's ready to use them.
Someone like me would not... I would just not walk down there. I would not be there.
Exactly, but I think Elle's like, I have to. That's the only way. Yeah, I think she is on high alert here, because any of them could just spring out at her at any point.
Yeah.
You know, to her... No, sorry. To them, she's just a little defenseless child. Like, how is she going to defend herself against all these guys if they wanted to rob her or whatever?
Yeah.
It's like, you have no idea, my friends. So, I think she probably is on high alert walking through this.
Yeah. And then she does find the warehouse, and we get to see properly Axel, Dottie, Mick and Funshine. And then, of course, Collie.
Yes, exactly. That's it, you know. Those guys are on high alert as of who this is. Well, at first, they're just taking the piss out of her.
I think Elle seems relatively calm.
Oh, she's
in that
very
situation.
Calm. Like, she is amazingly calm in this. Probably, again, she's on high alert. She knows she can defend herself.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. If they wanted to hurt her, she's easily winning. They don't have powers.
No.
Like, she can just throw them all in one big go and then take them out one by one. Easy. Done. So, yeah, I think she is 100% calm, knowing that her sister's here and she's going to see her. That's how this is going, whether they like it or not. But yeah, they're on high alert, because suddenly this kid comes in with a picture of Collie and wants to see her, saying that she's her sister. And it's like, yeah, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, why are you only here now?
Yeah. I do think, though, some of it is a... I think some of it's an act with Elle. Like, I think she's acting tougher than she feels. I think inside, in this moment, she's shaking, because this is a pivotal moment for her to meet someone who has literally got a shared experience with her.
Yeah.
Like, an incredibly individual shared experience. And when her and Collie see each other's numbers and say, sister, you can kind of just see that kind of melt away from Elle as they hug.
Yeah.
And to be honest, to an extent, Collie as well, she's obviously got an incredibly tough exterior, but her eyes are quite telling.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You see
vulnerable
for a moment,
almost.
You see for a moment, they both let their walls down to welcome each other home, in a sense.
Yes.
So, yeah, I do wonder, it's probably all an act, but it could easily be Elle just knowing she's far more powerful than all of them, even Collie.
Yeah. But do you know what? That's a brilliant segue, because I was next going to talk about Collie's powers.
Yeah.
So she shows them to Elle, and, you know, she says that she can make people see what she wants them to see.
Or not see what she wants them to not see, yeah.
And Elle is like, oh, is that, like, scary? And she's like, it doesn't have to be scary. You know, it can be.
Well, she only
things.
Says that because she describes the fact that she made, is it Axel? Yeah, Axel see the spiders on his arm.
Yeah.
And she said that's why he was dancing around. And then she said, but it doesn't have to be scary. I can just make you see whatever I want.
Yeah.
So.
And that's it. It's a very important power. And so this is what I wanted to discuss, really, because I think this episode could almost be vital to season 5 if they use Collie.
Yeah.
Because I think, I'll be honest, I don't think if she does come back for season 5, I don't think she'll survive.
Yeah.
But I think she will be redeemed.
Yeah, so you think she's going to be a heroic sacrifice, nearly?
Yes. I think she is going to help Elle and the party. Like, she's either going to, yeah, be a decoy, make the party invisible, even if it's for a short time. I think she's going to be able to trick Vecna because she's going to have the element of surprise.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
I do think he'll end up killing her.
Yeah, personally. So that's it. I think, say if they're on the hunt in the Upside Down, you know, and they're just about to get to him, if Carly's with them, she can make Henry see the party in one place. You know, they could be coming from in front of him.
Yeah.
In plain sight. And he can be like, well, why are you there? When in reality, they're sneaking up behind him.
Yeah.
Ready
yeah.
to take action. Or, like he was well say, that she could keep them invisible to him as they're approaching. Yeah. So it could go either way. But again, I know I brought this quote up previously from the latest, well, can't say series now, it's season now that it's on Disney Plus, but the latest season of Doctor Who, where from Maestro saying, you can only trick a god once.
Yeah.
So I think that is going to be such an important one-trick pony from Carly.
It's going to help. Gone. Yeah, it's going to help save someone.
Exactly.
Maybe say, for instance, he has got Holly. Like, it's going to help save Holly.
Maybe.
They're going to get Holly out.
Or it might be so pivotal in the sense of saving the entire party.
Yeah.
Potentially the older teenagers, maybe the adults as well.
Yeah.
Maybe she literally saves everyone in a moment.
Yeah.
Where Henry would just otherwise see them all and slaughter them. Maybe she does literally save every single one of their lives. But then, once that's happened, Henry's like, hold on, what just... Oh, it's you. Dead.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. And I just think the Duffer brothers would be foolish
yeah.
to not use her. They've brought her in for a reason. They've given her powers for a reason.
Exactly.
They made that episode, this chapter, for a reason. Please don't waste it, because that could really, really be important and useful and redeem Carly's character.
Yeah, I think it's such an important thing to bring her back, because, like, if anything, it's kind of along the lines of Terry as well. And I was going to say, they've not brought her back either.
No.
They've mentioned her, though, at least, in season 3. When Elle is about to get into Billy's mind. Mm. When they're all in the basement, Mike's literally kneeling on the floor next to Elle while she's in the chair saying, you know, I just need you to be careful because, you know, your mum loved you.
Yes.
All that. I don't think he's trying to convince her out of it, but he's just insisting, please be careful, because Billy obviously is against us.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, he doesn't exactly love you like your mother did, so he's going
to... He's not there to protect you.
No,
he's
exactly. And Elle's just like, I just need you to trust me.
Yeah.
So that's it. All I'm getting at there is at least they haven't completely forgotten Terry.
Yeah.
At least they haven't at that point. And I can only hope that Terry has to come up again. She is her mother. She must be brought up again, otherwise there will be pitchforks.
My only concern is I'm also not sure if Becky and Terry are going to make it, because I think Vecna is going to get involved as well.
Yeah, you think he's just going to go all out and kill everyone that means something as well?
Hopefully, except but not Mike. Like, I don't want to... Like, you know what I mean.
But this,
like,
is my point. I think he's going to go for everyone.
He's going to try and destroy her.
He is going to try and destroy her.
He knows her power is love.
If anything, from the outside in.
Yeah, he knows her power is love, so he's going to try and destroy that love.
Yeah.
From every avenue.
Exactly. So that's it. He's going to go for Hopper. Go for Terry and Becky. Go for Carly, maybe.
Mm.
Go for the party.
Mm.
Go for Mike. Nobody is safe, because Henry knows everyone now.
Yeah.
If anything, he knows everyone. So, and he is going to want to torment Elle. He's going to want to torture her.
yeah.
mentally, and force her to see everyone around her, everyone she loves, falling before finally taking her out.
I've just got to say, happy 11/11.
Happy 11/11 indeed. Although it's 11/12 according to that laptop.
I got in there just in time on my phone.
You left it so that I would be late, you bully.
I didn't. I was letting you finish speaking, and then I noticed, and I was like, ooh, happy 11/11. So the thing is, with Collie's powers, she uses her hate to strengthen her powers. So we have the scene where she's trying to get Elle to draw the train towards her.
Yeah.
And she feels, and obviously, because it works for her, she thinks that Elle needs to do the same.
Yeah, and obviously it does work.
It does work, but I think it's not unlocking true potential.
No.
And this, like I said when we watched it, the sad thing is, Collie doesn't realise there is another way because she doesn't have happy memories.
Yeah.
So she doesn't have any family.
Yeah, like she's lost everything.
Elle has created family. So Elle does have, as we will see, happy moments to draw from, to pull the love in from.
Exactly.
But Collie doesn't have that.
No, and that's it. That's where this episode, once again, is just so important.
Yeah.
Because, like you say, Collie has lost everything that meant anything to her. You know, later on, she says she had family, she lost them.
Yeah.
She had found family after escaping, she lost them.
And honestly, like, I don't even need Suspicious Mind to know this because in the show, we know from the newspaper clippings that Collie remembers being abducted. Elle doesn't.
I think she's 5 years old when she's abducted, isn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, and there's a part in the book that literally breaks my soul. And it's reports on Collie and Terry's reading them.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And it says she stopped...
Stopped asking for her mother.
She stopped asking for her mother.
Yeah.
That is heartbreaking.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when you realise she's five.
Like, I could cry right now. I'm not even joking.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, mix an empathetic person with a parent who's, like, 4 months postpartum. It's not a good mix.
No, it's not.
I genuinely could cry, and I need someone to remind me that this is a show.
That's the problem.
This
is a show, but this show means so much to us.
So when you take into account that Collie remembers being abducted, of course she's got hate. Of course she's filled with hate.
Exactly, and you can't
blame
her.
She knows that she had a life before this. Poor Elle was literally born and then immediately taken to that.
Exactly, she was literally ripped out the womb.
Yeah.
It was a C-section. She literally was ripped out the womb. So,
and straight to the lab.
Yeah, exactly. Not one moment with the mother.
No.
So, yeah, you can completely understand Callie's position of only having anger and hatred to fuel her abilities.
Yeah.
But it's just later, I don't know how much we see of it, but later on it just shows the difference between them where, and it kind of is the difference between Henry and Elle as well, where they think hate is the most powerful emotion.
Yeah.
But then it just proves to be the complete opposite.
Yeah.
That love she has for everyone is so much more powerful. That need to protect everyone she loves.
Yeah.
Fuels her so much more
and honestly,
than anything else.
Like, people that have read the Harry Potter books will know this. It gives a huge Harry Potter vibe. Harry against Voldemort, because Voldemort again fights from a place of hate and nothing more, but Harry is fighting for everyone else.
Yeah,
Harry has something to fight for.
Exactly,
he has many people that he loves, and he is fighting for them to keep them alive,
and that's it,
to protect them, and that is more powerful than anything else.
It really is. And I really think that's where this show is going. I think that it is going to use that as a point between Elle and Henry. Because like you say, what is Henry fighting for? He's got nobody.
Just power. That's
he just wants control over the entire world. He wants every living thing gone.
Yeah.
He thinks... He's ironically a bit on the lines of Skynet in Terminator, where he thinks humanity is a disease. And so it just needs to be destroyed. Every living thing gone. And we'll just restart it. That's what he truly believes. So he's got nobody. You know, he's not fighting for someone he loves.
Yeah.
He's not fighting for his family. It's just pure hatred and anger. And then Elle, like you say, she has the party. She has Hopper. She has her mother. She has Mike. She's got everyone who loves her and she loves them. And that is so much more powerful. And I really think that is going to be such a huge plot point in season 5.
Yeah.
And hugely. I really hope it is, because that's exactly where this show is going.
And as I say with Callie, I feel like that would redeem her, and that would also expand her powers. She needs to know what it feels like to use her powers to protect people.
Yeah.
Because, well, let's be honest, I can't blame her, of course I can't, but she's not using her powers to protect people. She's using her powers, I don't want to use the word selfish because of what she's been through, but she's using them for her personal gain, to try and make herself feel better. She's not using them to save the world.
Yeah, exactly, because in their mind, all of the kids are gone, so it's not like she's saving any of the kids stuck in a lab.
No.
Maybe she's thinking of it as a preventative.
Possibly, but I think she's told herself that. I think she's almost made herself believe that.
Yeah, exactly.
As the reason why she's doing it.
Yeah, she's got an excuse to go around.
But really, it's her revenge, isn't it?
It is. There's nothing else you can call it but revenge.
And that's it, and that's the difference. Elle, when she's closing that gate, she's not doing that out of revenge. She's doing it to protect people.
If
it comes at the cost of her death.
Yeah.
Even we see that in season 1 at the end of the day. She thinks that's going to kill her, but she still goes ahead.
Because well, literally, she's trying to protect her last everyone words else. In season 1 are, "Goodbye, Mike."
Yeah.
So she thinks she's going.
Definitely.
To save them.
And that is the difference between her and Carly at the moment. And I would love for Carly to be redeemed in season 5. Because this episode would make so much sense for that, if that was the case.
Exactly. That's it. And I don't think this episode would be completely pointless if they don't bring her back.
No.
Because it's still so much growth for Elle as a person. But, like we were saying earlier, it would render Callie pointless. And I don't want that to happen, because she is an important character.
Yeah. And she could be. She still could be.
Yeah.
So yeah, I hope it is all there for a reason. I really do. So what happens next is, obviously, Carly is using Elle's powers a lot in this episode. She is. And
yeah, I made a point of that. She's gone from Brenna wanting to use her for her abilities to, I mean, to be honest, none of the party really do, obviously. But then suddenly Carly is like, oh, she found me with a picture. We're using her.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. So she's just gone to another family that's just going to use her for her abilities while making her feel homely, of course. But still, it's just gone. She's gone back to another place of forcing her to use her abilities for their own gain.
Yeah, exactly. And she's able to find Ray Carroll relatively easily. And he is the one who, I kind of think what the machine is called.
He's the one who delivered the, air quotes here, electroshock therapy.
Yeah.
To Terry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's a main instigator in what happened to Terry. So, of course, Elle wants to seek revenge, you know. And that scene where they're getting her dressed and they're giving her her punk Elle style, Like, I was watching Elle, and I just felt her vulnerability. She just wants to belong.
Yeah, exactly, and that's it. She feels like... I don't know if she feels like she has to, but she is the odd one out in her dungarees and all of that.
Yeah.
She needs to fit into the gang here now. And
it's a bit like how Max says in season 3. It's like, the dungaree style... Hopper's clearly been like, I've got these clothes, you can wear them. And even then with the punk style, even though I do like the punk style, and I do like the dungaree style because I love her free curls.
Yeah.
But none of it is the style she has chosen.
Exactly. She's never had the ability to just choose clothes for herself until she's shopping out with Max in season 3.
Yeah.
So.
And Max is like, you know, not what Hopper wants, not what Mike wants, what do you want, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful scene.
It is. It's
of growth for Elle.
Yeah, it is. And it's once again another thing that infuriates me that they just put on TV to boast the season. It's like, I'll stop.
So they're on their way to Ray, and they stop at a gas station. And I was laughing because Elle... like, goes to pick up some snacks and then sees Eggos, immediately drops the snacks and goes to the freezer to get these Eggos.
Exactly. She's grabbing all sorts of things that might genuinely be of sustenance, and then she sees those cardboard discs. And she's like, yep, that'll do me.
It honestly made me laugh. But it did make me wonder why Collie shows the gas station worker an illusion about the toilet is blocked, but it doesn't last very long, does it?
No, I think she either she's distracted, or maybe it's a case that obviously he's now gone to try and fix it.
Yeah.
And it's not like she can live adjust her vision, I suppose.
Yeah,
she's not watching what he's doing, so he's probably trying to find where the water's coming from and stop it. And as you, sort of like when Elle tries to grab the butterfly,
yeah,
her hand goes straight through it.
Yeah.
So he's probably gone in there, found where the water's coming from, and then he's putting something over it, and it's just still the water would basically be phasing through his hand or whatever.
Or even like he's put a plunger in the toilet, but there's no splashing. Like, you know, he's like, what?
Yeah, it's just clean water splashing up and all of that. And it just breaks through her vision, essentially. Because, you know, as soon as you try to modify that fake vision yourself, it's not going to respond to you. So it breaks that illusion then.
Yeah. And this is the thing. I do think if she does come from a point of helping others, I do wonder if her powers will strengthen, so that could almost be like solid matter, you know, instead of hands going through them. You wonder if
she can make people feel things as well, yeah.
Yeah, because then I do think she'd give Vecna more of a run for his money if she could strengthen her skill and make things more solid, make them more believable. Yeah.
Make him perceive a bullet going through his head.
Yeah.
Job's a good one.
I also do wonder if... Sorry, going off a little bit on a tangent here. Henry mentions about 8 escaping. I wonder if he's ever tried to find Collie.
Yeah.
To recruit her.
I wonder. Or would he even be bothered if she's never gotten a hold of telekinesis and astral projection? Would he feel like she's, sorry Carly, but pointless? Unless, of course, he can train her to gain the other abilities.
Very possible.
Which, you know, he could. Unless, of course, he's seen that, you know, she's escaped. Why is she then going to team up with who, as far as she's aware, is just a worker at the lab? She'd have no reason to join him. Unless he fooled her into thinking he's gone against them all and wants to take them all down. Basically do what she wants to do.
Which he could do, but he'd definitely have to look a bit different than Vecna to bring her on, I think.
Yeah, exactly. That would have to be
Ironically, an illusion.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Or before Elle has, lack of a better word, yeeted him into the other world.
But, I mean, from those kind of pictures of season five, unless it's a made-up scene, we know he can make illusions. Because, like, he looks like an old man to Holly from what we've seen in set photos. Again, they might not be the real deal, but he looks like an old man, so he clearly can make people see
that's
what he wants them to see. Well, we already know that, obviously. But, yeah, more along the lines of what Carly does. But we'll see. We will see.
We will indeed.
So then the next scene, obviously, they've arrived at Ray Carroll's apartment. And it kind of sickened me that he had children, because I thought, you helped torture a mother just trying to get her children.
Yeah.
But the age of these children, I'm trying to figure out if they would have already been born.
I know, because there's
possibly, because they look, so, one of them, you know, Elle, I don't know how old Elle is when Terry gets tortured, but Elle looks like she might be maybe 3, something like that, maybe 4.
Yeah.
In the Rainbow Room. So, and she's now meant to be 13?
So that all of the party are 13-ness.
Yeah. So what is that, 9 years between 4 and 13?
Yeah, 9 years.
Because his eldest daughter looked like she may be around that age.
Around Elle's age or so, yeah.
Definitely younger. But yeah, might be.
So that's what you're trying to figure out, is if his daughters were in the game before electroshocking Terry.
Yes.
Or if they're an after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like him trying to move on with his life, you know.
Yeah, and it also stands to my point when he's saying that he was just doing what he was told. He thought Terry was sick. I wonder if he's telling the truth there. Because the thing is, if he's behind the scenes, just as a doctor or wherever he's supposed to be, they're not going to tell him, surely, that this woman's just stormed in to try and regain her daughter from us, the one we kidnapped straight out of her womb. They probably would say, this woman just stormed into our office, shot one of our security guards, and is going absolutely crazy. She's sick. She's one of our old patients. And she's a bit of a schizo. You need to help her. So I could believe that he thought he was helping. But you also raise a good point that we see him literally electrocuting Carly as a child.
Yeah.
And it's like,
and he knows she hasn't lost her mind. And we know that she's also probably been calling for a mother. So she's not, you know, she's clearly not lost her mind at all.
So then that's it. You'd think, why are you...
He's tortured a child.
Yeah, exactly. So there's two points to that. I do wonder if maybe he didn't know Terry was just trying to save a daughter. But then he's clearly not a saint, exactly, because he is working against Carly as a kid. So
I think the answer is probably the easiest answer, which is probably he's worked there as a scientist with good intentions. They've started the program with the children. He has seen how dangerous Brenner is, but it's one of those situations where it's like, you shut up and do the job or you will be killed.
Yeah, exactly, because that's it. Once you're in that job and you know what's going on,
you and your family will be snuffed out.
Exactly. Unless they go Men in Black and wipe your memory and turn you into a hobo on the streets.
Yeah.
They can't let you go. Because they let you go, you're going to go out and spread the news.
And for all we know, it may have been a relief to him when the Demogorgon situation happened and Brenner was technically no more, or was, you know, disgraced and, you know, told to leave. might have been the happiest day for him. He might have finally been able to leave.
Exactly, so that's
and
it.
And go into some kind of hiding. But it's hard to know because...
It is hard to know because that's it. I believe his remorse, personally. Like you say, that Demogorgon moment might have been the best moment of his life getting out of that lab. Because he's no longer having to do these things. I personally think I believe his remorse in knowing what he's done. And so when he's literally begging for his life in a bit.
Yeah.
I believe it personally. I think...
Because
it could go two ways. He could... Sorry to interrupt.
Sorry?
He could just be saying it because he's now got kids and obviously he wants to be there for them.
Yeah.
He doesn't want his daughters to lose him. But I think I believe his remorse. Whether he knew what he was doing to Terry or if he was believing the lies.
Yeah.
If there were lies. Or, yeah. Either way, I think I believe his remorse here. So I am glad Elle does what she does.
I'm 50-50 on him, to be honest with you. But I am glad that when Elle has seen the photos of those girls, that she doesn't kill him.
Yeah, she's the bigger person. And can I just say, I love how they pay a homage to Darth Vader here. The circular hand as if she's got his neck in her hand. Literally force choking him. That's such a Darth Vader thing. I'm pretty sure the first moment we see the force in Star Wars is Vader choking one of the Death Star staff.
Yeah.
So for them to then have Elle force choking Rey Carroll and literally dragging him along the floor by his neck.
Yeah.
Is such a brilliant homage to Darth Vader, intentional or not. But, like you say, she's dragging him along the floor, choking the air out of him. He's going red as a plum.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, he lands then next to a picture of his kids.
Yeah.
Is he in the picture as well?
Yes, he's in the middle. I think it shows Elle's pure, true rage, because the people we've seen her kill so far, she just flicks her head and they're gone without a second thought. But she wants him to suffer.
Exactly.
Like her mother suffered.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Because, like you say,
she doesn't want it to be quick.
She can... Yeah, exactly. And that kind of goes along it. Once they're dead, they can't be remorseful. They can't regret their actions. But here right now, you are slowly choking the air out of him. He's like, I'm about to die. I regret everything. Please help me.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, exactly. She's, oh, you can see the rage in her face when she throws him across the room.
Yeah.
Cracks his head against the wall. Yeah, she's just fueled by pure anger. She is full Kali mode here.
Yeah. And I hope he is living in absolute terror that she's going to come through his door any day.
Yeah, literally. Like, she found you out of nowhere. She can do that again as she pleases. So you are living in constant fear of your life.
And that is the revenge, really.
Like, he's probably moved house, but he knows full well they found him there. She can find him wherever he is. And I imagine he's living his days looking everywhere, literally eyes at the back of his head.
Yeah.
Constantly. I don't think there's going to be a moment where he can live in peace.
And this is the thing.
But this is it.
Like, sorry.
Sorry.
Carly wants to end him and she goes to do it. And Elle forces the gun out of the property.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. And then, just going back to that picture and Elle seeing it, it's like she's so fueled with anger, but then as soon as she sees that picture, it just breaks her.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, her face immediately drops and she suddenly feels guilty herself.
Because she doesn't want another family to be destroyed.
Exactly. She immediately realises she's the bigger person here. She's the biggest person
Yeah.
here. Out of everyone, because like you say, she sees these kids in this picture and she's like, no, I am not doing to those kids what you did to me.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing.
And it just shows how big of a person she is. She's the, and as well as that, that moment she turns and then, like you were bringing up then, throws the gun away. This moment in this episode defines for us who Elle is. Because through this entire episode, Elle could go
the
bad way with Carly. But this moment here is the decision. This is the pivotal moment that Elle is defined as a good person, if you will. Going back to Star Wars, a Jedi, essentially.
Yeah. But funnily enough, I wouldn't call Carly a bad person.
Not bad.
I'd call her a troubled person.
Yeah, bad is the wrong word. I just mean the two directions. Yeah. Carly's route being bad.
We hear, you know, Carly on their way, they're getting away, and Carly says to her, you know, fair enough that you gave mercy, but don't take my choice away.
Yeah.
And when they get back to the warehouse, Carly comes and speaks to Elle and tells her a bit more about her story, that her gifts, her powers had got strong enough and she used them to escape and get as far away from the lab as possible, and that she found a family, and she says a home, but they couldn't help me, so I lost them. And she doesn't clarify what they couldn't help her with, but I'm gonna say her rage, her PTSD, her feeling to need to resolve that she's literally lost her whole life, her real family, and what she thinks is any chance of ever being happy.
Okay, because the way I saw it was her saying they couldn't help keep her safe from the lab.
Right.
And they just found her anyway. That's the way I perceive that when she says that, is that obviously, whether the family know or not, she's in hiding from the lab, but then they've come, they've killed this family she's found, and tried to take her away again.
Yeah.
That's the way I perceive that, is that no matter who she's been with, the lab have always found her.
Yeah, and it could be that, or it could be the fact that she just can't handle her emotions over this situation, this very complex situation. But the thing is, we feel such a sympathy for her there, a huge sympathy for what she's dealt with. She has gone through hell and back, like, to an extent, maybe even worse than Elle, because she remembers life
before.
That
is it. It is going to be worse for Carly, because she probably does remember her family before abduction. You know,
and
if she was five.
We don't know, but the lab could have killed her family.
Yeah, could have killed her, whether in front of her or not.
Because they might have known, just like Terry, that her family were never going to stop looking.
Exactly, yeah. So
it might be that she's got no family because they were also killed, so then that would be like an extra kind of fury and revenge.
But then I feel like they would have done that to Terry, because obviously Carly came first.
Yeah, I suppose.
But,
you know, we had this huge sympathy for her. She's gone through all this horrific stuff. But then she goes down in our estimations, like on a roller coaster ride.
Yeah, she hits her lowest point as soon as they mention Brenner.
Yeah.
And Elle is convinced he's dead. And then suddenly there he is, or at least there's a vision of him in the doorway.
Because Ray had said that, you know, I'll help you find him.
Yeah, he is very much alive, he says. And yeah, Carly, to get through to Elle, to try and manipulate her.
Yeah.
And that's all this is. This is just an
manipulation.
Attempt at makes Elle see Brenner. And you said it right. It is like
senior abductor.
Senior abductor, exactly.
Could there be anything more distressing than that?
No, exactly.
Seeing
that's
the person who terrifies you, the person who not only terrifies you, but in Elle's case, loved as a father.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. You know, this person kidnapped you, caused your mother's basically death.
Yeah.
Well, fate worse than death, like you say. And then suddenly Callie is forcing her to see him. This, like you say, this is Callie's lowest point. This is disgusting of her, really.
Yeah, it is. I just think, yeah, it's used her to terrify Elle, to frighten Elle, to make Elle not want to leave. Like you say, to manipulate her. And I just...
Exactly, because yeah, I think...
It is Carly's lowest point.
Isn't Carly basically saying, why haven't you tried to find him? Yeah. Or something like that.
Well, she doesn't, but I suppose through Brenna she does. Because Brenna's going, you never looked for me. And I was like taunting her. Yeah. And yeah, it's just, it's too much. It's not fair.
It's not fair at all. Yeah, and that's it. Elle's probably genuinely convinced he's dead. Yeah. But at the same time, probably too scared to look either way. Because, you know, she's unfortunately from Barb. Seen a dead body from the Demogorgon. She probably doesn't want to see that again. But at the same time, she doesn't want that horrible moment of seeing him alive and well and realising, crap, he's actually alive and out there.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is that I've just thought about, after this happens and Carly leaves her on her own, Elle looks in the void for Hopper. And I wonder if that's almost like a... you know, when a child is scared... Like, going to their father, almost, ironically. Like, yeah. I wonder if that's her searching for a bit of solace.
Does she go looking, though? Because it's all in her dream, because she wakes up through it, doesn't she?
No. She's very much awake, because she's holding onto her shirt.
I know she's holding onto the shirt, but I just wonder if that makes her feel at home, because obviously it's going to smell like Hopper,
she
potentially.
She smells it, smell and then she like the cabin. Wants to listen in, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, she's
I can't remember asleep. Properly, despite us just watching it.
Earlier in the episode, she hears Hopper's message in
the
dream.
Yeah, I know that. I just couldn't remember if it cuts to her falling asleep and...
Again, no,
dreaming about this, but yeah.
No, she's awake for this. And
yes, she is, because then the police storm and she hears the knocking in her head,
and it's
the police knocking the door down. Yeah, okay, yeah. So she is awake and doing this intentionally. Okay,
because that's it. As she's experiencing this, like you say, the police have found the location and they are very much about to storm the building.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Elle is seeing Hopper and she's having, flashbacks, isn't she? To Mike, to all these happy, beautiful memories. Mike, you know, telling her...
I think...
...about home and Dustin saying, she's our friend and she's crazy.
I think the flashbacks here are like that conflict in her head of her trying to decide whether this with Carly is her home or if the party and Hopper and all that are her home. Because she probably would be conflicted...
Yeah.
As of where to stay. You know, she's just found her lab sister, someone who, knows who she is, where she doesn't have to hide who she is anymore.
Yeah.
Or the family who helped her, who saved her and love her to no end.
Yes.
I think it's like that internal conflict of trying to decide where to be. But... we obviously know which one she prefers.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, Hopper in those flashbacks saying, this is your new home. And she says, home. And then that flashes her straight to Hopper at that control panel saying, you know, this place is like a graveyard. And she's obviously like, what on earth is going on?
Exactly, yeah. Confused. She's seeing it in hospital scrubs nearly.
Yeah, I don't think she clocks at all that it's the lab. She's thinking, what is happening? And then I had a theory, didn't I? Because suddenly she's watching Hopper and all of a sudden Mike is running and going, I have to get through.
Yeah, and you said it in such a beautiful way. And as Malevan warriors.
Yeah. My thought is that, you say a beautiful way, it's kind of a logical way really, but he's never out of Elle's mind, ever.
Yeah.
I described it as an open tab on your browser or an open tab on your phone, he's always open.
Yeah.
He's always there. His mind is kind of open to her. He's, you know, probably got his mind open to her as well from his side of things. And the moment he is in peril, she zones straight to him. Because it's not like Hopper and him. They're not in the same, they're not on the same level. Hopper is in the basement and Mike is on one of the other floors.
Yeah, and you made me realise that. Because of their positioning in the void, I thought, obviously we know Mike has run up to the doors trying to get through to warn him it's a trap.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, is Hopper just on the other side of those doors that Elle can't see because she doesn't see the surroundings? But no, you are dead right that I'm sure. Well, we don't know for sure where Will is. We don't know if he's high up or low down.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's not going to be in the basement. They're not. I can't imagine Sam thinking that would be a good idea.
No.
To have him that close to the mines.
No, exactly. Considering
the communication going on.
Regardless of how big the separation is, they're not on the same level. But yeah, I love your way of saying it. Whether it is as soon as he's in peril or if it is just her mind subconsciously constantly thinking about Mike because he's always there. And so, naturally, while she's thinking about Hopper, Mike's on the back of her mind, so he easily just breaks in.
Yeah.
Whether it's that or solely the fact that she's been watching him every single day. Probably like multiple times a day.
I think it's like there's a link there. Because she's watched him so much, I think there is a link between their minds.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think it's going to go as cliche as some as... Which I'm not saying cliche in a bad way because I love the concept where they can just talk to each other telekinetically.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't think it's like that kind of link in their minds.
No, I don't think so.
But I feel like you could imagine it in a sense of... Because Mike says he can sense her in the when she's watching him.
Yeah.
I feel like they probably have that kind of mental bond where as soon as one of them is in danger or peril, the other just gets that instinct at the back of their head.
Yeah.
That just nagging thought of, I need to go see them right now. There's something wrong. I need to get there.
And that's the thing. It's like, Mike might not be telekinetic or anything like that, but the mind is a very complex thing. Like, when you think, like, they always use this in psychology, when you think about an iceberg, you know, an iceberg is only so much on the surface, but underneath it is absolutely ginormous.
Yeah.
And that is our mind. Our mind is complicated. It's huge. Like, there's, you know, subconscious, there's the subliminals and all this kind of stuff, and they do have a link. She has been in his mind too much for there not to be this beautiful kind of link.
Absolutely. And another thing that I want to mention on that topic as well is maybe they don't have to be telekinetic themselves. Maybe they don't have to be the ones with the powers, because if you think about it, season 4, when Elle is piggybacking off Max obviously sees Elle in her head.
Yeah.
They're talking in their heads.
Yeah, yeah.
So Elle, on her own, clearly can establish mental communication.
Yes.
Across states, in this case.
So insane.
I suppose, actually, where I've just said I don't think they'll go the cliche way of having them mentally talking in their heads, what's stopping her?
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what the piggyback is, plus visuals.
Yeah, yeah.
So, in fact, it's now canon that she can do that. And I think, yeah, maybe whether it's just because of the love they have for each other, or if it's because of how much she's been watching him, I think there is a constant subconscious link between these two now.
Yeah.
And screw it, I'm going with that. I don't care how cliche or sloppy this is. That's now canon.
But the thing is, what's important is that seeing Mike in this situation makes up Elle's mind. It, you know, she's going home. She's going to Hawkins. She's going to her friends. Like, there is nothing else that is going to stop her. And, you know, the police have got to the warehouse. There's a Carly is to be fair, very impressive with her powers at this point. She's hiding everyone in literally plain sight and does all these kind of distractions. Like, that must take a lot of her energy.
Yeah.
To keep them all safe, to be fair, to her. And it is quite, even though we know Elle's going to go back to Hawkins and we want her to go back to Hawkins, you can see the true emotions in Carly when Elle is saying, you know, I'm sorry, but
I'm leaving. I have to go back. Yeah.
You know, my friends, they need me. Like, Carly's thinking, but you're my sister, you know, like,
yeah,
you can see the heartbreak in her.
There is a heartbreak, you know, she's crying as they go away. She's hiding it, obviously, because she has to keep her tough demeanor up for
and,
these guys.
You know, she's only known, like, Elle for a day or two.
Yeah.
And she is crying. And I think it just shows that deeper emotion and how much of Carly is hard on the surface, but clearly vulnerable. In the inside.
Yeah, exactly. And I do wonder, I bet a lot of it is a sense of she truly thinks Elle is going to die.
Yeah.
On her own, or with these people who have no abilities or whatever.
Well, she thinks, you know, they're just going to let you down.
They're going to betray you. They're going to manipulate you, ironically.
But there's no time. There's no time for this discussion.
Exactly.
Because
she knows she's going to go.
And the illusion is breaking down.
That's it. Obviously, this whole thing, like you say, is breaking Carly down. And she's losing her tough demeanor. And yet, she's not going to be able to think of this huge wall she's sprouted up.
Yeah.
And that's it. She's immediately then just losing that thought to keep the wall up in their minds.
And, of course, there's like the lines that you absolutely love. Because Carly says to her, there is nothing back there for you, Jane.
They can't save you, but that's it. Elle's like, no, but I can save them.
Yeah, and that's so powerful.
That is the powerful, and that is, once again, Elle showing who she is.
Yeah.
She is so selfless. She is just all about protecting the people she loves.
Yeah.
Not many times thinks about herself at all.
And that's what I think Carly needs a taste of in season 5.
Yeah.
Is that feeling of accepting that these people can't save her, but she can save them.
Exactly. And in saving them, you create yourself that family.
Yeah.
Naturally, they then want to do everything in their power to protect you.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, it's just another moment of Elle just showing how beautiful of a person she is in every single way. Because
that's it. She's racing back. She knows that something's happening, she's in danger, and she's going straight into the line of fire.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's it. That's not quite the end of the episode. Obviously, we see her on the bus where she says that line.
A very cute line, because she says that lady's, you know, questioning where she's going, and she says, you know, I'm going to my friends.
I'm going home.
And she has that lovely little soft smile. Because finally, she has had Hopper mention home to her. She's had Mike mention home to her. She's had Becky mention home to her. And she's had Carly mention home to her. And finally, she understands where she belongs and who she belongs with. And who makes her happiest.
Exactly.
And that's a huge thing. Like you said, like, even if Carly was the wasted character, this episode is so important for Elle's journey of discovery.
That's what this episode is. Thank you very much. That is exactly what it is. It's Elle discovering who she is, us seeing her discover who she is.
Yeah.
And there's just so many pivotal moments in this that just define who Elle is as a person. And so, honestly, I just don't understand how anyone who loves this show and loves Elle as a character, how they can hate this episode. Because without this episode, yeah, they can say Elle's just naturally good and wants the best for everyone. But this episode just shows her growing into that and deciding that for herself.
Yeah.
Without this episode, it's just part of her character. And yes, that's who she is, but that's boring. We see this truly develop in her mind that this is her home that she's going back to now. She's decided that. She's seen what the alternative option is, and she's not having it.
No. And she, as I say, she's so brave, and she doesn't even look frightened on that bus, you know?
No, she's happy to be going back.
She's happy, because even though she clearly knows she's about to face something from what she's seen of Hopper and of Mike, she's happy because she's got that realization. She's not wandering anymore. Like, she knows her place.
Yeah, exactly. It's set in stone now. It's carved into that stone and decided she is going home to her family, which obviously Hopper, but
Mike, the party, the family,
and
yeah.
Mike, that's it. She's set on that. They are her family, and she will do everything to protect them. And we all know, in return, they will do everything to protect her.
Yeah. We did it.
We did it at an hour and a half.
I feel like we started a bit loopy. I think we were so fired up.
Yeah.
And then we managed to get a bit of calm as we got through.
And then I went on a ramble right at the end there, which I had to. It's just...
We ramble. People know by now. We're almost done with season two. People know we ramble.
Yeah. That's it. We've only got two episodes left of season two now.
What you also know by this point, well, you'd be silly not to know, is how much of suckers we are from 11. And in the next episode, right at the end, you all know we get the reunion. So expect me and Tom to probably be in tears at the beginning of the episode.
You know how we always say after every episode, I just want to keep watching? How the hell are we going to watch episode 8 and not go straight into episode 9?
I'm telling you now, and I don't feel any, like, upset about it or anything like that. We will be watching the whole reunion scene. I don't care. We'll just happily watch it again. when we cover episode 9. We will be watching the whole reunion scene. That is one of my most favourite.
Absolutely. It's
so much that, happens in that reunion.
To be honest, maybe Over the Snowball is the most important moment of this season.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it's literally both of them getting what they need.
Yeah.
Not only want, like desperately want, but desperately need.
It's absolutely... You want to see Mike... Well, Heart Eyes, basically, came from this scene.
Exactly.
Mike Heart Eyes Wheeler. Literally, I can't wait. I cannot wait for episode 8. I cannot wait for episode 8.
Also known as The Mind Flayer.
The Mind Flayer. Oh, I'm excited. I would say, shall we watch it now, but it's almost... midnight, or is it already?
It has now become midnight. It is exactly midnight. But I'm still, honestly, so tempted to just watch it anyway.
You will be watching it on your own, unless you want me to watch it with closed eyes, because I'm very, very tired now.
I was tired before. Then this made me want to go write something.
I know. I want to write, personally, for me, I want to write a season 5 kind of guess.
Yeah.
Series is what I want to do.
Well,
like,
that's
my kind of interpretation.
That's it. You are fantastic at long run multi-chapter stories.
Yeah, well, I can't finish my stories at the minute. I'm too busy with our children.
Just lock them in their bedrooms.
I don't say that begrudgingly. I love our children and we're incredibly lucky to have them. But they are time stealers. Huge time stealers.
Yes. There's no other name for them.
Time stealers.
Yeah. That's them.
Yep. They shall forever be known as the time stealers.
Yes, they shall.
But eventually I will get my stories finished and hopefully I can get something out on season 5 before it's out. But yeah, it does inspire you. This is the thing, when you have a passion for this show, and this is our creative outlet, is writing and stuff. Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Either creative writing or just going on a massive 1 hour, 34 minute and 26 seconds rant about how bloody important season 2 episode 7 is. Yeah.
So if you were one of the people that were like, oh, it's useless, I hope we've given you a bit of insight and made you question it a bit.
We better have, or I will be having words with you personally.
To be honest, if they don't care for it, you've probably just skipped this episode, and that's fine.
If you've skipped this episode, this is me talking straight into your head. I will find you. And we will be having words.
And you will rewatch.
I will hold your head in place, full on Matilda style, forcing you to watch this episode, changing your opinion. You will grow to love this episode. You will learn how important this episode is. You will.
Sorry, I almost fell asleep then, to be honest. My head
out of boredom.
Back. Yeah. Of our own podcast. How bad is that?
Well, not even out of the podcast, just out of me.
Yeah.
I don't know why you still do this with me. Just take over yourself. Just fire me.
Because everyone can account for this. In every single episode, I'm laughing. I love doing this with you.
I absolutely bloody love it. And I know most of the time we go into this, we're shattered. We watch the episode and we're like, oh God, can we be bothered? But we love doing it as soon as we start.
It's a moment for us. Like you say, we play the most important roles of our life all day, mum and dad.
Yeah.
We play them all day. And then when our children finally go to sleep, this is a moment to be Shan and Tom.
Exactly.
This is the reason we met.
I was just going to say, literally talk about and just... oh, go crazy and share our pathetically huge passion for this show that is the reason we met and the reason our children exist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you bet I do love this with you.
I absolutely do.
And?
Like, that's it. Yes. Straight after the episode, sometimes I'm like, oh, I can't be bothered, let's do it tomorrow. But like you say, every time we start, I just love it. This was probably the one episode where I was like, no way of getting into it because I'm so ready to scream at everyone.
Yeah. Apologies for people if you did scream at you. I bet you were like, I bet you most people that do like this episode are like, all right, Tom, stop it.
Hopefully they're gearing their pitchforks up with me to join me in the... riots against the people who don't love this episode.
Oh. But yeah, I definitely think give it a try, people. If you are one of the people that questioned it, really think about not just the surface level. Think about why this episode might be here.
You know what? You know how it was saying it takes you out of the moment? Just watch it on its own. Like, don't even bother with a whole rewatch. Just go and watch episode 7 right now, ignoring everything else going on. And just think of it as Elle finding out who she is.
Do you know what? You're so right, because it's as if season 2... I don't know how to do the American equivalent here, people, so I apologise in advance. But it's like season 2 is going 70 miles per hour. That but is, then
Americans use miles per hour.
Oh, that's okay then. But then it's like... episode 7 is going at 30 miles per hour.
Screw and that. It's like we're in Wales. Am I going 20?
Yeah, 20 miles per hour. And literally, you're going from this fast speed if you're a binge watcher like we are, and then suddenly you're slow as a snail. And you can understand it from that point
of view. I do understand it from that point of view, but I just know there was nowhere else they could do it. It was going to be that anywhere.
Exactly. But you can feel like, what the hell's going on here? We were getting on a pace.
I remember I thought that. I did think that when we first watched it.
I was kind of like, am I in the wrong series? What's happening?
I didn't think we were in the wrong series because it was the Carly gang.
Yeah.
But yeah, I originally thought, hold on a minute. We were just getting to the Demodogs breaking through. Why are we now going away from that? But as the episode went on, I loved it anyway because it's so important.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think it is important. And I think we've being able to get our points across as to why it's an important episode.
I hope so, or I have failed in life.
Of course, yeah, this was a very, very, very wasted an hour and almost 40 minutes now.
Oh, you don't want to be as specific as me, do you?
No, I can't bother.
A very wasted 1 hour, 39 minutes and 42 seconds. The meaning of life, 42.
Oh. Well, I think we shouldn't waste any more time for our poor listeners.
Yeah, you poor sods. Why are you still here?
If you are still here, thank you so, so much for listening. We appreciate you more than you know.
We do, because I was going to say you give us a reason to do this, but we're doing this for the fun of ourselves, really.
We are, yeah.
It's a lovely bonus seeing who.
Yeah, it's still really exciting seeing the demographics.
Or pretends to enjoy, or maybe Sean's paying you to enjoy this. I don't know.
Where the hell am I getting money from?
I don't know. I don't know.
I can assure you, I'm not paying anyone, unless it's in Monopoly money. Actually, I don't even know Monopoly. I can't give anyone Monopoly money.
Where's our Stranger Things Monopoly?
Oh, it's upstairs. Okay, maybe I can give some people some Monopoly money then.
And it's on topic too.
Yeah, yeah. And on that note, I think we should finish.
Yeah, it's probably for the best.
Thank you again for listening. If you're still here, thank you, thank you, thank you. And we will see you next week for an episode where we will no doubt be crying.
We will be, from start to finish, non-stop. Be ready for it, you poor souls.
We'll see you then.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.